the meeting of the Electronic Real Estate Recording Commission, Wednesday, May 21st. That'll be called to order, and let's see what we got. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4 and a half. And we've got Pam on the phone, too. Is that right, Pam?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, thank you. Very good. Well, why don't we call the meeting to order then, and I'd just ask everybody to take a quick look at the agenda and see if there's anything else anyone would like to add, and then entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
It's been moved to approve the agenda as written. Any second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, why don't we vote? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's approved. Let's go on. We have the minutes. And let me just take a minute to ask you to take a look again at the minutes. I think we did get them out here a couple of days ago for everybody to take a look at. So anybody have any comments, suggestions, or questions concerning the minutes from last month's meeting?
I move that we accept the minutes.
Okay. It's been moved. Do I hear a second? I would be willing to second, seeing as how a couple of the other members here were not present. So it has been moved and seconded to approve the minutes from last month's meeting. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you very much. Now let me bring up one other topic. Last month, if you read the minutes, you noticed that we did not have a quorum at the meeting last month, and so we did not formally approve the minutes from the previous month. And I would be willing to entertain a motion to approve those March minutes as well. And I bet not everybody has a copy of those.
No, I forgot to.
Okay.
Probably mine. The one copy.
I'll move to approve them. As I remember right, there wasn't anything I didn't that I saw needed to be changed. So
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the March meeting minutes. Any further discussion on that? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Good. Well, let's get right into our committee reports here. I think we have some exciting stuff here this afternoon. So, our trusted submitter committee.
Yeah. Well, the last time, I'm sorry I missed the last meeting, but the last meeting that I attended, I talked about going out to visit some of the test sites for the ECRB. And so I did. I went and I talked to Dakota County Abstract, and I watched them go through the process, and I talked to Burnett Title just over the phone. Because really, once I went through things with Dakota County Abstract at DCA, I didn't really think there's any good reason to go to the second one. let me start the... what was interesting when I got there, they thought I was the guy that was going to help them with the system. So that wasn't the case at all. And I think right now it's probably a little bit of lack of communication between the Department of Revenue and the and these test sites, because they've gotten so far, they can only go so far, and they're kind of stuck. There has been no actual tests done, because when they go to, they create the CRV, then they want to, they would print out a cover sheet, right, and then send that along. And when they go to print out the cover sheet, the data that's in the cover sheet is not the data they just entered. So it's some completely different record that comes up. So right there, they can't go forward on this. If they try to retrieve a file, same problem. So apparently there's either index mismatch or whatever it is, but that part is not working. They both sites for different reasons have issues around the Internet Explorer 6.0. I didn't realize this was going to be as big of an issue as you from the submitter side, as you had mentioned from the county side, but they both run production systems, different production systems that are specific to 6.0. So again, their workaround is to stick one computer in the corner that is off and has a 7.0 Internet Explorer, and it's got to be completely off of their networks. I mean, it's just a dial-up cable, because neither of their companies will support 7.0 at this point. They can't, and because, like I say, because of production system reasons that are specific to 6.0, they can't go to it. So that's kind of their workaround, and literally they've kind of said, we've just stopped. We've got no feedback. I don't really even think they know who to call at this point to resolve these issues that they're having. So there was other various small suggestions that they had. The old written form has all the fields, and they say it has all the fields of the old written form or the type form, but they used to, a lot of people add extra notes in on those because the form doesn't completely give the whole story. So they said there's no ability to add notes, there's a lot of things that they had that were good suggestions, you know, that they could get going. Same issue, they have residential and commercial is kind of all in one. They have to answer all residential and all commercial questions regardless of what it is. So they said literally it takes longer to do the ECRV than it did to type it because of this issue. Now they know that DOR is aware of that issue, and they said they'll fix that. So I mean, there's a lot of like you'd think with any new system, it's got some bugs that need to be ironed out. But I don't think there's proper communication at this point. Now, having said all that, on the plus side, and when we went through this, it is easy to understand. It's easy to follow. You can tell they've done their homework, you know, as far as what's required. I think just and it once you use it a few times, they said they easily can train someone to use this, you know, very quickly. But again, just getting it that to that submission point. So, and I think Bill validated with Dakota, there are no actual test submissions that have gone through to Dakota County.
And I confirmed that with Joel Beckman. I talked to Joel here a couple weeks ago as a follow-up too, and he confirmed his understanding, and he said, and I may not be totally up to speed, but is that his staff and the assessor's staff have given the Department of Revenue feedback,
mm-hmm.
and he understands they're in the process of making modifications to it to accommodate the issues they raised.
Okay.
And I heard from some folks at Burnett the same thing you just mm-hmm. repeated, and the Burnett people told me they understood that Revenue is making programming changes to accommodate the very points that you made, and they're wondering where it's at, and they've not heard anything back. The same thing that you heard.
Well, and unfortunately, from Burnett's, the person that was doing the testing has moved to Kansas or something. He's out of the state now. And they said, we're not going to put the next person in until this is fixed. What's the point at this? So they've just said, okay, until we hear something, you know, we're going to wait. And that's what DCA said as well. And they're right. I mean, there's no sense in. So I think it's a good system. I do. I think the core of it, it's just the bugs need to be worked out and nobody's kind of, it needs to be finished. Right. It's a good start. It is. It works well, but it's not finished.
Right.
So that's kind of what I
learned. So can this committee make a recommendation?
If it was coming from you, Janine, I'd entertain anything you might think made some sense.
I still think that we ought to just hire a private person to go out there, do it, and get it done with. And I know we don't have any funding. But it seems to me that we ought to be able to privatize this enough to get it off the ground that it makes enough sense to the submitters and to the vendors to be able to come up with somebody who has some...
In my mind, honestly, it just needs to be finished. It's there. I mean, I think it's 80% or better there. It just needs...
But it's been 80% there since January.
Yeah.
Since last year this time.
Right. What I'm also hearing from other sources other than Jason in-house is there's now some differences of opinion within revenue itself about wanting to rewrite the program. And I think we've got some pride of authorship now in terms of how it was written and the language it was written in and so forth. And now that it's become a higher priority, there are those in the IT world that are saying, well, if we had been involved, we would have done this better. We'd have done it this way. And so there's now differences of opinion saying, well, that would have been nice if you would have chosen to become involved 18 months ago when we started this, but you didn't, so now we need to go on from here. And so those debates are going on at the same time.
Let Mike's comment say, not 18 months ago, but 5 years ago.
I was quoting someone else.
I just think it's been taking so long to get this to what was supposed to be a point in which they were testing it a year ago last January. And we're still not testing it. It was right. Dakota County was supposed to test it at least a year ago last January.
Well, they started testing 9 months ago. But they've never been able to take a full ECRV through to completion.
Mm-hmm.
The county has never been able to get the submitter package to finish doing what they have to do back to revenue yet. Now, there are a couple of our guests in the audience here who have also had some experience with dealing with them and also have some ideas about alternatives and what others are doing as an alternative to what revenue is doing. And I think we are going to perhaps need to explore that. But I guess as a commission, I would prefer, even if revenue can't deliver on this, because they've now publicly said that this will not be rolled out in more than two or three counties by the end of 2010. They publicly said that at this point, and I just think, well...
2010.
They hope to be in production in Dakota County this year, and they hope to be able to bring two more on in 2010. I mean, that's what they've told.
So you're slotted now for 10?
Well,
Hennepin is?
Yes. If we resolve the 6.0 issue, which is another whole issue in and of by itself. So we may end up having to look at still allowing Model 2 electronic recording to move forward without an electronic CRV, which may be unfortunate, and it's not the way we intended to do things, but I don't want to wait till 2010 or 2011 or 2012 in order to have at half the counties in the state be able to do this because of one document that doesn't ever get recorded.
I thought the idea was that the submitters didn't want to submit until they could submit the six-pack.
They would like that, but I also, in the one I talked to, the Burnett people, they said, Mike, we'd do that separately, and still if we could do the regular documents, we'd be willing to explore what could be done that way. Yes, they're still saying what they've always said, but I think the frustration level is so high and the interest in doing Model 2 recording is significant enough that they would be willing to talk about workarounds. It's not in county's best interest either, because we've got to have those CRVs in order to get the price paid, in order to, you know, determine the deed tax on properties and that sort of thing. And so that, you know, is going to make more work for all of us to match up electronic with a real paper. But maybe we let them scan in an attached CRV,
we can talk about those options. But will the Department of Revenue accept that, not accept the three-part? Or can we, once we get it, we make three copies? I mean, do they have to be yellow, pink, and blue? I mean, I don't know what color they are anymore, but I haven't seen one for a long time.
I can buy yellow and pink paper.
Huh? I can buy yellow and pink paper, yeah. I mean, is it to the point where I realize that some of the large companies do not have time to make these copies, because they also include often attached legal descriptions in threefold too. But is it a workaround we can live with for a year or two so that we can get moving on this? Will the Department of Revenue accept that? Will they accept it, one without a wet signature on it? That's the question probably we need to find out.
My guess is they would tell you no, they'll continue to expect the paper copies. Because now they expect of counties the paper copies, even though they expect counties to key all the data into the electronic system.
Yep.
And that's the issue that we as counties were hoping to eliminate, is the need to key in most of that data. And that it would now be residing with revenue rather than at county levels, and that public would go to revenue for the document that they require for that data. But I don't think revenue is prepared to deal with what that means in terms of a change in focus from the public either. They aren't accustomed to having to deal directly with public customers. So, but let me throw this out. In my thinking about this, I think there is some merit for us as a commission to maybe establish a group to take a look at what other alternatives there might be that would make an acceptable way of moving forward pending revenue's completion of the ECRV. I think that's where we want to get eventually, but I don't see that as being a viable option for the remainder of this year. And if we hope to be able to get this into production this year, I think we have to have some sort of a viable alternative to the CRV, because we're not going to have the revenue's ECRV for the remainder of this year that we can go live with. So I guess that would be what I would be interested in, and I'm betting, and I have not talked to any of the audience members, but I have a pretty good idea from what I've heard that there might be some people that might be willing to work on that type of an issue for us to give some consideration to. If the commission is willing to entertain that, I'd certainly ask for some volunteers. Any thoughts among commission members?
And then as a commission, we would be endorsing that back to
I think
the DOR? I mean, ultimately, they still have to approve it, right?
Yes, yeah. Of course. Yeah. Absolutely. But if we had people that understand the business side of what's going on from our submitters, mm-hmm. understand the recording need, and then also understand revenue's need, and what would make it possible to do what we're trying to do for electronic recording and satisfy those other three entities, I think that would be, you know, what we could maybe ask a group to take a look at and report back to us, and then maybe we explore it and then take that next step with revenue, although I would be very happy to see the group we appoint to talk to revenue as part of their exploration in the process.
You know, I mean, I think we could do that. From what I saw from the submitter's side, if they could fix one issue, the print, that they could get that print, it would at least limp along. They could at least do it. You know what I mean? That way, I mean, we could do the other part, but I'm just saying one issue there, and we would be. I know there's other issues, but I think that's they could work through those. I know there's a 7-0, but they've kind of set these things off to the side and done these things. I would just hate for us to do all this work and then get something going and then Department of Revenue says, oh, forget it, you know, why would we entertain that? This is what we've got going. I mean, can we put enough pressure on them to just fix the one thing? And you could at least do that. I mean, because then the print function would be there, the system is there, and the data is on that their approved form. If we can get it to that point, but I know.
Can I ask a question as to what that exactly means, and that you just print it out and bring it to the county. I guess I still don't quite track what you mean by.
Well, I think
that one problem because you don't have any idea what the Department of Revenue is getting for data and how they can use it, and whether they're ready to do that on their end if you put all that data into that system. So I guess I'm not quite tracking as to what you mean by. Fix the one thing.
Well, I think that from Dakota's standpoint, they haven't received any from the submitters because the submitters aren't sending this because they can't print that cover sheet out with the proper data.
I thought that there was a possibility of just putting the number on the deed, though, so that you didn't need a cover sheet. All you needed to do is look it up.
And that may very well be, but they're not willing to put that number on because when that number comes up, it shows other data. I actually think we're this close to having workings. But I don't know what's on the county side of the world. You know what I mean? I don't know what they're seeing.
Right.
But that's the only reason they've given me... From both sides, they said, well, yeah, we could throw that number on, but when we bring the number up, it's somebody else's data, so we're not comfortable sending that
number. So they're pulling let me clarify now. So you're thinking that if they were able to print, you could do what with this and bring us a piece of paper? I guess I still don't quite...
Well, if that's the case, I mean... What they were going to do is just kind of print this cover sheet that they would send along, you know, at this point. Because then when you received it, it would have that number on that cover sheet, right? You could write it right on the deed. I think that's, you know, in place of that.
But I think it should be in place of that it should be
right,
on the deed.
Right. But
can I inquire on that number as the county
And that's officer? See, and that's their thoughts is... I don't want to send you that number because when I pull up that number, it's the wrong data. I've entered Larry's information and it gives me.
But let's say that it did bring up the right data because that's what you're saying. The wrong data. That's printing or bringing up the wrong data.
Right.
Okay.
And if
it's not just printing, it's also the inquiry on that number. It's bringing up somebody else's data.
Right. So is it choosing like a transaction number instead of a document number, or what is the problem with it?
Yeah, who knows?
How's it pulling the wrong information?
I don't know. I mean, it could just be an index issue.
Yeah.
I mean, it could literally just be an index, a bad index, and this could all go away with a pretty small fix.
Yeah.
But is revenue ready to do that fix? Are they even looking at it? If it's a complaint from this company...
Well, I guess my bigger concern is what Mike said, that they're not ready to roll this out to more than two counties by the end of 2010.
Right, right. That's
a year and a half away.
Yeah. Right.
So can we sit down and talk to them and ask them? And I know, Larry, we don't want to do it in paper.
Can we sit down
and talk to them, saying as long as you print out your approved form from the Department of Revenue. And we attach it with our deed as it comes in, or not attach it, but
image
but send it, in. Scan it in with our deed as it comes in.
Right.
Then, as the county then can take this paper and do with it exactly what they did with paper before. Now, it doesn't help us electronically anyway, but it does let us continue to do a Model 2 filing. Correct.
Right.
So are
as they're happy with the data that they've captured, the Department of Revenue.
Right.
But it's their form.
I understand that.
But and I'll say from my
it still has to marry up with something in their system. They have to be sure that the form that you got is really the data they have. Plus, the form that's going to get attached won't have like Social Security numbers and that sort of thing on there, because that's part of the current issue with dealing with the paper. That's why they've got that multi-part form with part of it longer than the rest, because they got the SS numbers down at the bottom, and we don't get to keep that. That's one of the parts that we send to the state, is the part with the SS numbers on it.
So then the county, you know, just wouldn't keep it. I mean, right now at this point, you know, we would only keep whatever information we needed or down to a certain point. And then the paper with the Social Security number goes on to the state, because now you have to send it there anyway, right?
Correct.
And we could be keeping copies of those numbers if we were not the honorable people we are.
Well, that's why assessors have to go to
school.
Ethics training.
Anyway, what I'm saying is that there it would be possible, if we sit down and talk to them, that as long as we use their form and it's presented electronically to us, that we could continue the process in paper, which would not be any more work than we're doing now.
They have to be willing then to let, in theory, all 87 counties use this right out of the chute then.
Well, it's just the form.
But think about it, Janine. If all everybody's got to be putting the data in there, and they have to capture it. It's not just a typewriter. They're capturing the data.
But they're not capturing anything.
They have to in order to print that form out. It's not just a typewriter that they're using. They're actually capturing the information in their system, and then they're printing out, giving you the ability to print out the cover sheet. So,
well, forget
really
the cover
sheet.
It's
not going to do us a lot of good if all you're doing is using it as a typewriter. I mean, we could just as well let the title companies continue to use the typewriter and scan in the form and send it to us.
Correct. I understand that, except that it moves it along with the three-part form. Is it still going to be required to be a three-part form, or can we use their new form and move it along? And I realize it's no better than the typewriter. I understand it's no better than the typewriter.
I would suspect, and I haven't seen the cover sheet, but I seriously doubt that it has the Social Security numbers on it, and they want those.
And from my part, they did not print one out for me, so I don't even know. It may be just a shortened version of what they have, and there may be a lot missing from that. I don't know that at this point. I should have them printed out.
Because it's meant to be just a cover sheet to show that, yes, I did enter the data, and it's in the state system.
But is the concern still, even if you put the data in there, regurgitating it back out, it's the wrong data?
Yeah, that's what's happening today. And I think that's a completely fixable. No. I don't think that's a huge, as bad as it sounds, I really don't think that's a huge issue. Because I think it's an indexing issue, not just.
Well,
I don't think
they apparently have it. It's just that they can't necessarily print it back.
So there would be a possibility that a county auditor who's doing this right now, putting that data, they load that data up to the state, correct, off the ECRB or off the current CRB.
We send them the files periodically. Yeah.
Okay, and
plus the paper.
And so you're doing the data entry already.
Some data entry, some of it we just pull right out of the system, though. Too.
Okay. But like,
there is some value added that we have to type in. Yeah,
okay. So we could pull that back out into a form to send back to them. That's what we're saying,
sure.
Right? Okay. If they
Well, again, it still really does boil down to a group sitting, and I think you got to include the Department of Revenue in this discussion to find out where they're really at and what they'd accept, and if Janine's idea would work well, would they be willing to let more than just two counties use this by the end of 2010? Because if they aren't, then there's really not much point in pursuing using what they've already developed. We'd have to come up with another game plan. So I think that's a reasonable thing to try to work out, because we're kind of stuck until we figure this piece of the puzzle out.
I hate being held hostage.
I do, too.
Well, we're looking for some snipers, and that's why I'm going to turn to Bill Morey here. Had his hand up, so.
I guess confirming what Larry said, you know, we can speculate, you know, ad nauseum on alternatives that might or might not work, but obviously revenue has to be a part of that decision. So whatever group you appoint, you know, to come up with some scenarios, and I think there ought to be more than one. Yeah. I think there ought to be several that this organization can look at and say that makes some sense, regardless of how clever or unclever or automated or unautomated they are. If revenue won't accept them, it doesn't matter. So that's got to be probably the most single important action that this subcommittee would do. And it seems like the representation on that committee would have to be someone that has the ability to get into or the intention of revenue. I'd be more than glad to volunteer for the group, but I have to tell you that I have failed miserably in my attempts. We've made many, many, many attempts to get to their technicians and was told that they would talk to us at the end of the summer. And so, and not before. So while I'd be more than glad to be on the committee, I have to tell you that my success rate at touching those people is very high. So we need somebody with some obvious influence on that committee with revenue.
Okay. Dallin?
My concern from what I've heard is threefold, and this is what I hear from submitters across Minnesota. I don't want a workaround process. The concern about having a separate computer detached from the network kills the discussion even at that point. I mean, right now, a lot of them aren't even willing to sign up for a recording because they don't even want a separate process from doing abstracts and releases. To the point that's even an end game. From a technology perspective, whenever you make it dependent on a browser, that suggests very poor code. So to me, I can follow the train of thought of there's got to be a quick fix in there somewhere, but if it's so dependent on a browser, it suggests to me, and from everything else we've heard, a lack of project planning and a point person, all that kind of thing, it really does feel like it's glued together very loosely. And so I'm not feeling like there's a solution there. My third is with what is printed versus what is in the system. The conversation a minute ago that you had, Larry, was really well taken by way of if they're keen in the data anyway, and it is useless if that just becomes a printed typewriter. It's the very same as having a typewriter workaround. So from the perspective, as I listen to a lot of submitters, and again, having a national slice, it feels too many workarounds that's discongruent with what eRecording is about.
Larry, let me just ask you a question now. Do you know if auditors all over the state are typing the data off the CRV into a consistent database, or does each one have their own?
They're all expected to report it to the state in the same format, but they're all using different systems to capture the necessary information. Because they're usually reporting it right out of the systems that they're using, but they have to take some of the information from the CRV and enter it so that it can be reported to the state. But a lot of it is information that they already have in their system. It's not all there.
In their tax system.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Or assessment system, or a combination thereof.
How do they get the data from the county that they have keyed in or extracted from their system back to DOR? Not the file. Not the paper. Is it a CD or a physical copy?
I think it's done through an FTP site, but I'm not positive of that now, because they've changed that through the years. But
they used to deliver like CD-ROMs over there too,
but
now they're doing it somehow electronically in my county. I know that. The thought that I've had is to say, look, we'll do something with you until a given date, and at that point all the counties are going to discontinue doing the electronic keying, and we're just going to give you the paper, and you'll have to do your own thing. if we're not required by law, because the legislature is going to, I mean, the governor is going to probably hunt a lot more money to the counties.
Yep.
And we have to begin to find ways to save money. And if we don't need to do that for our own needs, I think we just discontinue keying it in and let the Department of Revenue know that, and we'll give them a date certain when this is going to happen. Now, I don't know what the consequences of that are, and I'm not an auditor, so I can say that, you know, with immunity here of... and Ryan, where are you when we need you? we can talk about that and you know, be big and brave, but it is something that we have invested a lot of money, time, and effort, and now as I'm thinking through and hearing Bill's comments and yours, and we'll get to yours, but I'm almost thinking that, you know, maybe another visit with the Department of Revenue.
And what if we maybe include the governor with that?
Or the newspapers. Take some local newspapers.
No, I just don't understand why we don't go to the where it is. If this is so inefficient and the governor is trying to cut spending, then why do we go to where we're wasting a whole bunch of money?
And might I add, a lot of resources. I mean, e-recording is great. It saves money, but all of the paper, I mean, every time anybody says print something out, it's like chalk, fingernails on a chalkboard.
Paper is ready.
It doesn't have to happen anymore. This is the 21st century.
No, I mean, I honestly think that we need to take some other force with us at this point, because nobody's listening to us. Nobody cares. So, okay, do we go a different route in that brings some accountability down to where we get some response? And, you know, if it's the governor, if it's...
Well, Marty Seifert is your legislator. Do we bring him along with us to go visit the governor?
I can make that happen.
Well, maybe... maybe that's something that does need to happen. I mean, I normally I don't
somebody that's
prefer those approaches, but you know, those are people that, you know,
I have a whole
they're executive branch people, and they're working for the governor of that party. And I would think this is something that would be of keen interest to. I mean, it's a nonpartisan issue, really.
It is a nonpartisan issue. But at a time in which we're looking at trying to cut how many million dollars out of our budget, and to sit here and have people using resources on something that's going nowhere in 2 years, 3 years, no matter if they're only paying a minimum wage to figure this out, which I know they're not, but you know, government entities don't pay real well, so I know they're not making lots of money. But on the other hand, if we're wasting those resources year after year after year and getting nowhere, and no signs of improvement, and the county is wasting their resources moving data from paper to here so they can move it to here, and the people, our constituents, are paying the closers, or who, I probably have the wrong terminology on that side of the counter, to fill out that form, and then they're paying somebody else to carry it to the courthouse, when it all could be done from one spot, then we ought to be able to save money in at least three levels of government.
Don't forget about the person that's got a sequentially number of meters.
Yes, it will shorten up our workload. So, okay, there in four different spots, we can save some money if we could get this done. So, you know, I think it's maybe an opportune time to go in and try to put a little heavy handle down on it. Will we look at positive from the Department of Revenue? Maybe they'll never work with us again. I don't know.
Well, are they now, I guess.
But are they now?
Hierarchy, have you gotten in the Department of Revenue? Have you talked to the commissioner or Gordon Falkman? How far did you get?
Well, assistant commissioner.
Okay.
And I forget her name, Hanson.
Beth something.
Hanson,
but
I think
she was
that.
Pretty clueless about anything. Nobody had briefed her.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was just...
But I thought Gordon talked to Gordon, didn't she?
Oh, yeah. Gordon is well aware of this. Gordon is on board with this. Gordon has supported it. Gordon has done everything I think he has been able to humanly do to get the resources to make this happen within a department that has been hesitant at best of doing, you know, this sort of activity. So let me, you had your hand up earlier and I didn't call on you, so let's get back. I'm sorry.
No problem. Thank you. I realize I'm relatively new to this. My role is primarily working with title companies, and I've been doing that for a fairly long time. I agree with the observations that have been made. The Department of Revenue really needs to be involved, and I think it would be great if you could bring some effort to bear to perhaps nudge them along. In general, I would also agree with Dallin's comment that workarounds are seldom a good idea. However, in this particular case, I could see a workaround still being a particular benefit to the title companies. If the title companies could submit their documents for recording electronically, even if they still had to prepare the CRV on paper and send it in, I believe that that would be a huge benefit to the title companies. It would eliminate a number of tracking steps that they go through now to monitor the status of the recorded documents. It would also facilitate their issuing the policy faster because, of course, they would have the recordation information on a more timely basis. So I believe that you might find the title companies would not be adverse to that particular kind of workaround. And I would wonder if it might not be worthwhile to allow the subcommittee to maybe consider multiple alternatives, one of which might be, is there some way to accomplish the e-recording goal for documents, even if it means still submitting a piece of paper to the Department of, or I'm sorry, submitting the four-part prepared CRV package in its current form to the Department of Revenue for them to handle however they do at this time?
That probably can't fly because we're required to have the CRV in hand when that document is certified for delinquent taxes. We can't accept that document for recording unless it's had the CRV to the auditor's office before it goes to the recorder's office. So it would be real difficult to do that, to have the paper and the electronic thing get married together. I mean, I would have to sit in a queue or something until such time as we had the paper in hand. So that would be my least favorite.
I'd rather see it scanned.
Well, because
if we're looking at 2 years,
wouldn't an image do?
Yeah, that's what I said. I'd prefer to have it scanned.
Because basically we have been their work dog.
The Department of Revenue as to whether or not they'd accept that again. So I think it really, you're right. We have to have come up with, and you said it too, come up with multiple ideas and see if the Department of Revenue might be inclined to accept one of them.
If you're associating, if you have the image of the package of the ECRB along with the e-record, mm-hmm. you're okay. Then on a later date, when the paper ECRB, or the paper CRV comes along, that basically goes right to the state anyway.
No, we keep some of it here, and we have to have
information. But initially, if you have the problem just to get it past the tax issue, is that enough? And then when it comes in manual or in the paper form, then it can go process through the other offices. It'll already then have a document number for it, too, to associate
with
it.
Well, exactly. And my thought there is, if it's being scanned in by the title company, they would know the number that's on the CRV. Yep. Which would be relatively easy to include with the electronic document that they're submitting. And then on the back end, obviously, it adds a burden to the county. But you have the paper form that arrives that has the number. You have the electronic package that referenced the number. And might that not provide a vehicle to marry the two?
It would allow us to get those documents through, which even though it may take a little more work matching them up, it still would allow us to get those e-reports through that we can't now, which is definitely
so what if,
far out in the future.
What if the state has to marry them up?
That won't happen.
No. I know, but I'm saying they either move along or that's what they're going to end up, because the title companies will send their electronic transmission directly to the state. The county will be sending in their paper document. So they're the ones that are going to have to marriage that up. We won't. And so if they don't move along, that's what's going to happen. The title companies Because their first question is, well, how are we going to know that the electronic data that they sent in reads the same as the paper one we accepted? They're going to have to marriage it up. They're going to have to check it all out if they don't move along and get this done.
There was actually something like this in, remember down in New Jersey. They did a similar process for e-recording where you could send it electronically, but then you had to actually send the paper after. So you could get the recording information as of that date. Then once you got the paper, then it would truly become valid. It wasn't a valid recording. It really failed. It didn't, because people were saying, what if they lose it and I don't have, you know what I mean? It just didn't, they just said, you know what, we'll wait. And that's what we're a little afraid of on some of the workarounds, is they just say, okay, well, then we'll just wait until the real solution is there. And that's, I think you're right. We've got to come up with a number of ways to do these things. And maybe it's literally building something. As long as we have the specs to send, maybe that's, you know, this group builds its own submitting package. I don't know. Without funding, I don't know how we do it. But
our wait process, though, I mean, like Janine said, it's been 5 years now, and it doesn't look real bright and sunny even for the next. I mean, you're talking 18 months for some of the counties to get out there, and, you know, and I'm sure I probably would, Martin County wouldn't be one of them, but yet, you know, it sure would, you know, create some efficiencies for us if we could.
Yeah.
So then am I out there 3 or 4 years? If it's 18 months for some of the counties, then am I going to have to wait another 6 or 18 months on? That's 3 years from now.
I mean, we're at the point.
8 years to create a document when the e-well certificate took 18 months. And granted, a lesser document, but.
A lesser document, why? It's still electronic information typed in here and the information taken out of it over here. It isn't a lesser document. It's the same process.
Well, the only thing, it goes, the CRV goes to another office. It has to filter through the other offices where the well doesn't. And that's, to me, that's the difference.
But once the electronic CRV is done, a lot of the data the counties are going to have to put in won't have to be put in. So the purpose of having it go through the county at this point is that we've been the watchdog, that they're sure that it's filed. Otherwise,
now we do add data to it.
I know you add data to it, but the adding data to it came long after they started wanting data, more data, more data, more data. Sure. Because in the original use of getting that certificate of value is to use at your local level whatever information you need off of it. But it was just...
Also, it's used for the state to do their sales really.
Right. But I'm saying when it first started, it was we were a tool to gather that information for the state. It wasn't just like the well certificates, just like anything else that has surcharges on it that's sent on to the state. The county was the tool in which to gather the information and to make sure it was filed before the document could go on any further. Before the planning and zoning will, you know, before you get your septic deed recorded, your septic system. I mean, they want to tack everything to that deed. They just did that so many years ago that most of us can't remember attaching it to the deed. So, the filing of that deed. So, it just seems to me that we have to look at it from a different point of view, and that is, we get our purpose served out of it, the paper one that is scanned in, and the state can figure out how they get their information out of it when they want.
Well, you know, they always threaten they'll cut your funding, but...
What funding? They already have taken it all.
pretty soon that's going to become a pretty idle threat.
Yeah.
Shall we stop?
Sure.
Maybe we should start threatening to stop sending them our money.
Increase the surcharge on the 3%.
Yeah. Mortgage debt.
Well, at least the prisons will be more full now that they're going to have to take back their short-term offenders. Mm-hmm. You won't have to go to the state prison. You'll be kept in the local county facility. So, well, let me suggest this. In hearing the discussion, I'm almost thinking that I need to be the one to make the contact in order to get, because I know Bill has tried. I know Dallin has tried. I know vendors have tried consistently with no response. And I was thinking of asking some of you to do that But maybe I ask if you would join me in doing that, because I'd like to have that type of technology base there. But let me find a way to put some pressure to get us a meeting to talk about this with them, because we've got to bring this somehow to a head. And if we need to bring in other outside political influences, if that would help, and I'm kind of inclined to give Gordon Folkman a call, because I've tried always to work through Gordon. He has been the contact for local counties in the property tax area and discuss where things are at with him. And I think in fairness to him, I want to let him know where the commission is at, which I think is at a level of frustration that is, we've got to find a way to make this happen. And it's got to happen not over the next 5 years. It has to happen in the next year. And what is it going to take to make that happen? And what power influences and pressure do we need to bring to bear to bring that to fruition? Because I think that's, and would we be willing to entertain a workaround for a period of time if that's what it would take to get everybody involved in doing something in order to get to that next step? I guess I'm willing to entertain anything at this point if we can at least get seeing, if I can see light at the end of the tunnel, but I'm really not seeing any light at the end of the tunnel for the next several years, which tells me we can't do what we were planning on doing if we keep on the same course that we've been on. And I don't think that's acceptable. And I don't think it's acceptable, and I don't really want to place the blame on the Department of Revenue, but gosh, they've known this thing has been going on forever. I mean, they'd have been smarter to have come up with a PDF workaround of the current document they've got than what we're now going through. I mean, that would have been a lot less expensive than what we've all invested in, and try and just deal with that.
It's been 10 years, Mike. More than 10 years. When did the,
I know.
When did the first ERER...
1999 was when we had the first meeting. I don't remember when, but I think it was the spring. I remember, unfortunately, being there. Larry was there. I know that. Eileen was there. I know that.
And it was on.
Jeff,
and
you were there.
And it was on our list of priorities at that point, is to be able to have that as a document that moved electronically. I mean,
well, I don't want to put you on the spot, but is there anything your office can do to help through the legislature?
They're an unpaid position anyway.
But I'm just trying to think. I mean, I've said this before, but what I saw at Revenue, mm-hmm. if that same cast of thousands shows up, I don't know that meeting with them again is going to advance anywhere beyond where we were that day, because I just don't think they want to do this. For whatever reason, and I think somebody needs to persuade him, and I don't know that we're persuasive, but I'm wondering if somewhere...
We can certainly discuss it with Greg, but I don't think there's going to be huge leverage coming from our office itself, from the Legislative Coordinating Commission. I can see...
We could maybe try and figure out if there's like a legislator...
Yeah, legislator that would be sympathetic to...
McElroy or something.
Yeah, to sympathetic to the process.
Who would champion this cause for us?
Yeah, I assume Mark Ritchie has no clout with anybody. Does he? I mean, how much does it matter that he's the wrong party?
I think that would matter a lot.
Does it matter?
Right now, I think that matters a lot.
With what's going on with elections and Senate races and all that, I don't think getting Mark Ritchie involved would be... I don't think it would help what we're trying to accomplish right now. I'm sorry, I missed.
I said there's always Mary Kiffmeyer.
I'll take my representative.
Let me tell you this. I wouldn't stop at anything if that would get it done.
Well, what about if we ask Bert Black for suggestions?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. he's pretty good about working the system.
And I think if I were to talk to Greg, he would suggest that as being one of the first things that we ought to sit down and do.
Well, I think when we initially had thought about legislation, you know, with funding mechanisms,
right.
there's a list of individuals that Bert had given and Greg had given that might perhaps be sympathetic. But
and those are
let me talk to Greg and see what he suggests as well.
Yeah.
So
I'm just thinking, well, the Bar Association has lobbyists and things like that, but I don't know how to deploy that, if assuming I can get it deployed. And it just seems like maybe we ought to be working the political side of this, because I'm just afraid that if you do a workaround, that's going to become comfortable to them and give them even less incentive to fix anything, because now we've shown them that we can make do. And I just worry about that from a tactical position.
I do too.
Depends on how creative the workaround is. If it's a good workaround, maybe it could be.
Well, would you be happy with a good workaround?
I mean, I kind of hear different things.
I would like to be able to e-record all doc tapes.
I don't think it would hurt to have a little brainstorming session about it and come up with some ideas. Yeah.
Well, maybe we pursue parallel tracks then. There's sort of the political one, and there's the
practical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, where's Glenn Dorfman when we need him?
Well, he's
he's retired.
Know,
what happened?
Yeah, but his successor is a student at Mitchell.
Okay.
You know, that may be somebody.
Susan
Diori is a student at Mitchell. I mean, maybe if we talk to her and to Bert and to other people who are good at the political end of things. I mean, but does this matter to the realtors?
Marty might be your best bet.
As I say, Marty's your
Marty's
best bet.
Marty could get you probably in with Commissioner McElroy.
I'm thinking
Marty Seifert is
he can champion, he can pull in who he needs to champion this, and I don't think it's a hard sell to Marty. I mean, I don't think this will be a hard sell to Marty. I think he'll say...
I think this will be right down his alley.
He's going to say, I got my summer off.
Well, and I think...
Senator Rosen, too, and get her put in there, too.
Who?
Senator Rosen.
Yeah.
Well, and McElroy, I mean, this would be something he'd understand right away, and he'd view this as something... This is just good government. It makes sense. I mean, it just... where else do you get the private sector and the government sector coming together and... In unison. I mean, you know, there's no disagreement here between private and public sector. This is what we all know we want to do, and now let's find a way to make it happen. Oftentimes we're at odds with one another about what's the best approach, but I think we've really found it. Now let's find a way to happen.
I'm trying to decide how the best way would... Can we invite a couple of them to our next commission meeting? And tell them what our needs are, tell them what our concerns are, where our frustrations are, or do we need to have them in a smaller group than that and bring them into our offices first and show them the processes and what happens and then say this is where the hang-up is.
You know, it would seem to me that if we're going to pursue multiple paths, which I think Eileen's suggestion is a great one of doing that, parallel paths, if we're going to have different people talking to a variety of other people, it might not be a bad idea if we had a document or outline of a little bit of the history, a little of the, you know, what the objectives are, and, you know, neutral as far as, you know, some things. And so that everybody can sing out of the same songbook, because I'm afraid that if we're representing it differently, that there may be some mixed signals, and might be good to have
some good talking points that just kind of, you know,
talking points. Yes,
that's the buzzword nowadays, right? Isn't it?
I guess
everybody has talking points. So that
my only concern is that we get caught up so long in the preparation of doing this is that we're still in 2011 when we get done. So, you know, and I'm on the push. Let's get these things done. So,
Janine, I've never known you to be short of talking points. So,
nice talking points. Bill was trying to say that nicely. He'd like to let me know what I should say and shouldn't say if I'm dealing with a legislative person. But
we've never known you to say the wrong thing, Janine.
No, never. It usually comes out. It comes out wrong with the right intent. I know. But I'd like a pretty short time frame plan here, that if we're moving in parallel issues, that we all know that we want this done by July 2nd and this done by...
Our next meeting is just, I think, 3 weeks away. We changed the June meeting date here. I think it's the 11th, if I remember right. So we do have a short turnaround time here for that next meeting.
Can the group who meets for a workaround plan have some things put together by then? Will Marty be up from his nap by then? I'm sure. Marty Seifert, he'll be up from his nap by then. I just got an email the other day from him that he'd been up till 1:30 most nights. So.
Okay, so he's well rested by next week after the holidays, so he'll be ready for fishing season now, right?
Well, I can call Susan Diori. I mean, I'm happy to do that.
Well, Susan's been a former member of this task force. She knows the history, and she knows as well as any realtor. And there's my realtor friends would just love to see this happen. I mean, they're in the same ballpark that you are with the typewriter story. I mean, they tell the same thing to their group. I mean, everybody does. It's kind of the laughing stock in the state. So that's not the issue. I honestly am afraid to get to where we need to go, the State Department of Revenue needs to do a rewrite of the product so it's compatible with 6.0 Internet Explorer. They probably need to do a rewrite in terms of what is submitted so that people can fill out the commercial part of the questionnaire or the residential, but not both. And then it sounds like they've got a rewrite issue that how do we get it submitted with the right data, and the counties can't get in to do the work that we need to do unless you've got Internet Explorer 7.0, and there are some programs in counties that, A, they don't play well with 7.0 because of other interactions that go on with other state agencies, and that's the reason many counties haven't upgraded to 7.0 is for that reason. I did check, and you know, I think most of the vendors' recording indexing systems are compatible with 7.0.
Multiple.
That isn't the problem, and that's true. At least I know of TriMin, of Fiddler, and you know the vendor we use, and for most that I'm aware of, that's not the problem. But the problem is that the counties need to. Unfortunately, we upgrade to the lowest common denominator that they have to have on those browsers to do interface work with other agencies that the counties do work with. And the state isn't up to 7.0 on all of their stuff, which is another interesting...
It's an odd requirement.
Well, again, you know, not good planning in terms of thinking through that completely with all of the state agencies and all the county users that were going to be using it and so on and so forth. But again, I don't think that rewrite to incorporate a 6.0 is that time-consuming an effort to do that. But it does take some programming time and some resources to do it. But
Pam, can you answer that question for us?
Sorry, can you repeat it?
Pam, how much time would it take, do you think, for someone to take an application like the ECRB that the Revenue Department's put together and rewrite it so that it would also be compatible in a 6.0 Internet Explorer version?
I cannot answer that. Sorry.
Okay.
It would totally depend on what how much dependency there is on the functionality of 6 versus 7. I mean, if it's not great, there may be a way to work around that requirement, but if they really embedded a lot of functionality, you know, at the desktop, then it could be enormous.
You know, and looking at what they put in, there isn't. It's pretty straightforward. There isn't a whole lot of response, or you know what I mean. There's not much of a decision tree, or it's a pretty much a straightforward fill out the form, and here it is. It's not there's not much for calculations or how do I say interactive. It's a pretty static environment.
Janine, to your point, it would depend on the foundational code or the core code, how well that's been put together. If there's a lot of patches, then it makes some simple things very complex. Changing browsers, changing browser settings. If the core code or the foundational code that everything else is based on is not good.
And they haven't even been willing to sit down and review that with you, Bill?
No.
The end of the summer,
right? We tried to have a meeting with their technicians, and they said the end of summer.
Did they say which year?
Today, now I wish I had thought of that.
Always clarify that with them.
Yeah, now I don't do that. Yes.
Well, really, the answer I really wanted, Pam, was no, that won't be hard, and we can take care of that.
Sorry.
There are vendors that are willing to help with that solution, though.
And I think that we realistically have to ask, Department of Revenue is what's holding them up? Is it technical resources? Are they as close as Jeff perhaps might think? And if so, or are they not accustomed to dealing with the volumes coming in at them from John Q. Public, and therefore they have some reservations about that or whatever, and maybe we could assist in some way. Maybe we can put together. I mean, there's a lot of technicians out represented in this community of interest, and perhaps a panel of technicians could assist and push it over the top, and it'd be a doubt that it'd be out there. But until we know, until we can talk to them, this is all just sort of speculation. So I suspect we ought to just move on and see if we can find out a little bit more about that.
All right, let me do this. I will make a contact with Gordon, and I will get us some sort of a small meeting, not the kind of big meeting that we had last time, with a few people to discuss. And, Bill, I'm going to ask if you and Alan would be willing to partake in that. Eileen, I'm going to ask if you'd talk to Susan. Susan,
sure.
Just to find out where the realtors are at, which I think we already know, but to brainstorm with her a little bit, too, about this issue in terms of level of importance and strategy. And then, Diane, Sally, if you'd run by Greg, and I'd be happy to talk to Greg, too, about that. And I'm guessing it'll be people like Bert and others, and maybe we need to schedule a meeting with them here in the next week or so and brainstorm once they've woken up from the last 5 months of what they're doing, and they can get back to doing other productive work. Let's see where we're at our June meeting to finally then decide where we want to go. And hopefully we'll have had a meeting with that revenue group here in the next couple of weeks and just have a better handle on what we need to have in order to make this thing go and what revenue needs. And if they're short of resources, well, we may twist some arms. Dallin, you mentioned you had some. There was another party that used to attend these meetings once in a while said that she had some programming resources available to help us. Maybe we ask some of those people if they want to help revenue with that and see what happens. So why don't we get on with a couple of other items on the agenda, which I think are rather important here as well. Everybody comfortable with that, at least as an initial strategy for our June meeting? Thank you.
Would Janine be speaking to Mr. Seifert before then, or just even taking him through your process? I think it's pretty clear from the submitter
either
side.
Officially or unofficially,
yeah.
Yes, I will be speaking.
I'm saying from the submitter side, it's pretty clear when he sees the antiquated document what the issues would be from our side.
Yeah.
Right?
And
I mean, you've got to create this form that's, you know.
And I do know how to speak both ways. Either just as a constituent mm-hmm. that's frustrated, or as a member of the task force, so or as the commission. So whichever way you wish for me to do that, I will be speaking to it.
I'd speak to him both ways if I were you.
Yeah.
I think you're a frustrated citizen, but also you have inside knowledge of what's not good government as a commission member.
Yeah.
You know, I think that certainly makes good sense because I've certainly heard him speak up over the years consistently for good government. And he may not want to raise taxes and all that good stuff, but he also wants good government and he wants service and he doesn't want to have what's going on happening in the state. I know that. So, and we're not talking about adding to his tax roll here. We're trying to help save money.
No, I know. I mean, I realize that.
And you do that as well as anybody I know explaining that.
Well, there have been years we've been on daily
calls, I know.
Email notices, but hopefully he can be able to help or at least give us an avenue to work. I mean,
yeah.
If he is not it, he will tell us
where to go.
Mm-hmm.
Or who to contact rather than where to go.
Well, he's told me where to go a couple of times.
Okay. Well, we managed to go on the trusted submitter, and we got rid of the Roman numeral number 2 under the county recorder's ECRB update, so I think we've already taken care of that one, too, so we're very efficient here, all right? So let's turn to our county recorder update model 2 recording standards discussion, and let me just kind of update everybody in terms of where I understand things are, and Pam, if you're still patiently there with us, our astute subcommittee of Larry Deline, Chris Basilici, and Pam Trombo did finally get a full recommendation to us here earlier the beginning of this week, and you've all got copies of that in your handout materials. I think what we need to spend a little time is maybe asking Pam to kind of walk through that with us. I know there were a few questions, Pam, that you had, but let me just kind of set the context if I understand it properly. Number one, we're looking at putting these out on the web page for public comment here through the end of June. We're looking at taking the uniform conveyancing blanks, and I'm understanding that your subcommittee is recommending that that kind of be the classification system that we use, are those documents, and you've broken them into, as I understand now, 10 categories of names, and then various document types under those 10 categories. Then, as I understand, you have done some outstanding work in trying to do which documents can and cannot have reference numbers, which is an important element, because then we get to the key guts of being able to do the requirements, and that is what the standard would be that the commission would promulgate for parties that wish to record documents that need what they need to put give to us in an electronic form for each particular document type. Names, like on deeds, legal descriptions, and then finally one of the recommendations that I think is something we spent some time last month discussing was the particular topic of requiring the property identification number on documents as a precursor to doing Model 2 electronic recording, so that that would also help expedite not only the recording but the processing through the auditor's office and the tax roll and the combination of what needs to happen to get documents recorded and back in the hands of customers as quickly as possible. And Pam, if you want to just kind of walk us through that, if I've laid things out properly from what I've understood you and the rest of the team have given us.
Yeah, you hit it on the head. The thing I'm not aware of is the PIN number being required. I wasn't at the last meeting, and that one I can see being a problem for documents that currently don't require it. And okay. I don't know if you're going to go back and say releases now have to have a PIN number on it when you submit them as a Level 2 document, for instance.
Okay.
But, yeah, the main thing that we did was Larry, Chris, and I looked at all the uniform conveyancing blanks and morphed them and did everything we had to do with them to try to get them into groups, and we found 10 groups. And, of course, that's up to debate whether people believe those documents should be in that group, too. You know, that can be moved around, or we can add groups. And then based on that, we looked at whether they currently required a legal and split those a little further, and also if they required the reference document or the number. And then based on that, I mapped them to what PREA currently has, which is what we're using for a level 2 submission. And I just mapped it to that and identified what values were required.
Okay. Now, the topic about the PIN number. And I saw your email, Pam, this morning. I must tell you, your other commission members that I talked to also this morning thought that they were recommending that the PIN number be required on documents submitted for recording. There are some documents that are in the identified list that would not have a PIN number, such as a power of attorney that might be recorded that was not part of a real estate package that was specifying the power to be used on a specific parcel. And those, I don't think we would want to expect or require someone to submit a PIN number for, because it would never be tracked to a particular parcel. But I do think, in talking with Chris and Larry, that they did intend to require PIN numbers on mortgage releases, because those do need to be tracked to a particular tract parcel. And that was something that they were guilty of, intentionally wanting to make sure that happened. I know you raised a question, Pam, about whether we could require a standard in Minnesota. Contrary or different from what PREA does. And I think the important item that I would tell you is that PREA's standards are not mandatory. They are advisory. They are not required in any particular state. They are elements that they recommend be given consideration. The difference between what PREA does and what I think individual state commissions will have to do is to recognize the unique features in a given state and then impose some of those recommended standards to be done in a mandatory way, which is really what I'm viewing kind of the mapping requirements, Pam, that you've kind of put together for all of these data elements.
Yeah, I didn't question PREA. My question was the manual submission of the document. For instance, manually submitting releases, you do not require a PIN number, but now we're saying for level 2 submissions, you have to have a PIN number. And that's where I think we're going to have problems, because submitters are going to say, well, first of all, I don't have the PIN number. I have to go look it up. Second of all, well, if I can do this manually, then I'm going to do it, because I'm going to spend more time looking for a PIN number, getting it on the document, making sure it's the right one, than it would take for me to do it manually. So that was my concern of having two different rules, manual versus e-record, where e-record has more rigid rules.
Well, Pam, there is deeds right now with a $1.65 deed tax, and they don't have a CRV that's submitted. They're not required to put a PIN number on there.
They're not required to put it on the document.
No,
on any document.
Any document at all.
In paper.
Yeah.
And the requirement for it to be on some of the documents comes from the submitter end. I mean, the requirement to have a PIN number on a mortgage comes from the banking association, and the requirements from filling out the form from the banking end, not the recording end. So there are no requirements on paper documents for them to submit a PIN number.
But wasn't the suggestion also that if we're requiring it on the e-record docs, that eventually we will also want to mirror that over into the paper docs too, because we do want that field on in both areas, so
correct,
that's something to match.
Correct.
Yeah, and to get it on paper would take legislative adjustment. But from my understanding, the commission's charge is to come up with standards to do e-recording in Minnesota. And I don't know that they're limited by asking for additional data elements for the privilege of filing electronically.
And I would have to agree with Larry on that. As to the commission, we are requiring a lot of standards to be able to move the information electronically that the paper document doesn't require us to do.
So I think from my perspective, that's my recommendation, and I think Chris feels the same way. It's, I guess we're kind of like the Supreme Court. We might have a little, what do they call the dissenting opinion? And, which is fine, but I think what we need to do, at least from my perspective, to move forward is to leave it out there as a requirement and let everybody respond and let us, the commission, know what their feelings are about the requirements that we put together here and get the feedback that we're requesting. That's what this process is all about. If they all come back and say, oh, we don't want to do that, well, then the commission will have to take that under advisement and decide what to do.
And I know from our personal group, a PIN number on a satisfaction is difficult, much more so than a mortgage or a deed, because the information is readily available, where often you don't have that with, we create over 50,000 releases a month.
Yep.
We see them all shapes and forms. Getting a PIN number is difficult, because it's usually you pull in some old file. The PIN numbering could have changed from the origination to this point, and it's not an easy process. And like Pam says, it is. Then people are going to take kind of the path of least resistance. I know Mike was mentioning some things too. If we do require PIN, if that is going, it would be probably appropriate to do it as a grouping and not get too specific. So maybe you said affidavits is no, or releases is no, but deeds and liens are yes. You know what I mean? Just that broad group, because if we get much more than that, will probably be somewhat confusing.
Well, yeah, because you are going to end up complicating things by making more things required here,
right,
not required here. And we were trying to also simplify the process, right, somewhat, so that it wasn't a great deal of effort to unless you were supposed to put on.
It's just like I said, for us, I know handling title agent work and the release side of both, it's much easier because it's there in the closing. But the release, this is some file that's maybe been sitting in a custodian's warehouse for 3 years, 10 years, 15 years, whatever, and that it's usually, hopefully, it's a copy of a mortgage. If that.
Yep.
So you're working on much less, often,
sure,
much less information. Just giving, initial, yep, feedback. I know that would be some kickback there.
Okay.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Pam, this is Bill Worry. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Pam, did you use 3.x or did you use 4.1 of BREA for your...
I believe it was 2.4.1 because that's what we did for the release assignments and mortgages.
Okay. 3X is out there, or going to be out there very soon. I'm hoping, however, there is a cross-referencing document. I asked for it at the winter conference. I hope we got it. I'll check with Mark Ladd and find out and let you know.
Is that in schema?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, when you hear, just give me a shout. And
okay, I will.
We can look at morphing it into the schema.
Yeah, it shouldn't be bad.
Larry, I have a question for you. In in setting up a PIN number, is there some way that we can have a default? I mean, there's a PIN number required in these documents, but in affidavit, we talk about a power of attorney, to just a general power of attorney with no legal. Is there a way we can have that where that is defaulted to not needed or not
not required.
So if it's a standalone document, is what you mean?
Yeah, that it has no legal, that we can do that.
But if it's accompanying a package, it would then have one? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. I suppose that's possible.
No, I mean...
Technicians...
I'm trying to offset... I'm understanding what Jeff is saying about, you know, filing releases as opposed to filing a package that's going through and you have the information.
There's a couple of different ways you have to look at this, I guess, is when you're trying to start out on something like this, you have to design it to fit the majority of what it is you're trying to accomplish.
Right.
Because there's going to be exceptions to almost everything that you try to set up. If you try to start designing your system to accommodate for all the exceptions that people can dream up, you'll never get anywhere.
Right.
So you have to figure out, okay, so if I've got these exceptions, can I deal with them in some other way? Well, yes, you can. We still do have paper that you can accommodate for the exceptions. Mm-hmm. So the majority of the time, the power of attorney is that the title companies are going to be handling is going to come in with a package. So that can go electronically because they can give us the PIN number. Now, if they've got one that they need to deal with that's just a blanket power of attorney, send it in manually. And we'll deal with that sort of exception thing later after we once get started. I think the key here now is to start getting some volume to this so we can prove to ourselves that this is something that's good for Minnesota and we can get people using the system. And that's my fear, is that we can spin our tails with these exceptions and never get anywhere.
Yeah, I was trying to think about whether we could do it as this date forward. Okay, any satisfaction that came in on a mortgage from this date forward must include on a mortgage recorded this date forward would have to have a PIN number.
That's a good idea.
And anything prior to that, which would be sitting in a box or a drawer somewhere, that they would have to dig for, that they wouldn't necessarily need to have that on for. And so that was the question, technology-wise, whether that can happen. Because technology-wise, I don't know if those things can happen and it can split off that easily.
Yep.
As saying, mortgage is dated, 2009, okay, satisfaction must have a PIN number.
How about, is the purpose really for indexing, to assist with indexing? And
yeah, because there are counties now that are putting the PIN number on each and every document.
So if you do what I was looking
Because then you're able to tie everything together. That's the key to getting all the property tax information and the property records information, some cross-reference between the
and the GIS.
If you required a legal or a PIN every time there's a legal, then I think that would somewhat take care of it, right? Because if you said, otherwise it's a reference stock number, but then that reference stock number should have the PIN with it. It could have changed.
And that can be certainly a fallback position that we could live with, but however we decided, since we're starting something new here, we're going to recommend that it be on everything.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with my dream world, but I may not get that far, but at least I'm going to attempt. That's what I'm recommending, and Chris has been putting the PIN numbers on all documents for a while now, so it's not an unusual thing to do in Minnesota. I mean, I think Anoka County was probably the first one, but I know there are others out there that are doing it, and Chris is looking up the PIN numbers, and I know it's happening in other parts of the country as well, so I think Minnesota needs to get on board with that, and I think this is an opportunity here, so I'd hate to see it pass by without at least making a stab at getting it on there.
Okay.
And at least I can say, in talking to one of our commission members, Ryan Tangen told me that would be a very important item from an auditor-treasurer perspective and being able to move forward with some sort of integration into the tax system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he would say it's more important when it comes to mortgages and deeds than it is on other documents. He was very excited when I talked to him to hear that that's what the subcommittee was recommending in that sense.
Because, again, if you get back to the legal, that's the documents that would possibly go to the... And, I'm saying you could still get to the same point. If you have the original mortgage has the PIN, the later the assignment comes on, it references that original mortgage, that's going to have the PIN. So, I mean, you could feasibly get to that point.
Unless it's an older document, because we were putting PINs on.
And that's why I said, you know, maybe it would work for all of us to go from all documents dated this date forward must require the PIN. I look at this down the road as our clients using it for researching as well. I've said for years I didn't want that. I didn't want anyone to use it for searching. But I know that that's going to happen. So when our GIS department is looking for zoning and for this and that, they want all the documents recorded on this parcel number. Yeah. That's what they're going to put in is the parcel number. And that's they are going to have to know if there's a mortgage holder or not a mortgage holder out there. And whether that mortgage has been satisfied or not been satisfied. So we're going to want all the documents to show up, or whether there's a person with a power of attorney on that property that's been filed against that property. They are going to want to know every one of those type. Or if there's an affidavit that says if I keel over dead, it goes to my children. They're going to want all those documents. Whether or not they have a reference number after you go in and look at them or not, they're not going to want to search that way. They're going to want to search by these other documents that are filed against that PIN number.
There's also, Jeff is right, they need to be tied to the legal because you can have splits, property splits, and then you've got, and you can't have the same PIN number, so you create a PIN for each of the two entities.
Right.
And also, you can command systems these days from GIS or from tax into recording. And the only, you know, PIN number is the way to go for it.
It's the only identifier you have.
The common denominator.
Yeah. It's the common identifier through all of our
It has to be that way.
And when your GIS department wants to know where all the foreclosures are in your county, it's really easy to give them the PIN numbers and they can make a nice map of it with, when you have the PIN number associated. And we, like Mike mentioned earlier today, we're getting lots of requests for information that we've never gotten before because of the circumstance we're in today. And having more information there about where this property is located that this is happening to makes everybody a lot happier, so makes it easier to find.
Well, let me suggest we did pretty well decide that we were going to go ahead and publish the recommendation of the task force. We didn't get the final copy until this week, so I did ask the group not to publish it until we'd had the chance to meet today, so that we could discuss this and make sure everybody knew what it was we were going to go out with. I would recommend that we go ahead with the recommendation that we've got and put it out on the web for comment. We're not making any decision in terms of what any final decision that we as a commission would make, and we can entertain the issues. And Jeff, you make points. Pam, you certainly made some points with regard to the PIN numbers, but I think it would still be beneficial to put it out there with it on there, and let's hear what others have to say about it, because I think it is probably the most significant change in terms of what we would be requiring, and probably would be the most significant item, even if you were looking at it on a national scale. But I think it's worth trying to get that type of feedback from industry people that routinely do the recording about what the impact of that would have on them, and I think that's why it would be good to put it out there.
So this is Model 2 only, right?
This is Model 2 only. You're
so
absolutely
no
correct.
PINs required on Model 3.
We don't allow...
That's a discussion for another day.
That's to push more Model 3s, right? You want to go Model 3? No PIN.
But if you give us the satisfaction, you're giving us the reference number tagged so that we can tie them together in that sense.
Yep.
I might be more liberal on a Model 3 than I am on a Model 2, Jeff.
You're taking us down a nasty path.
You want to go down that path, Jeff?
I should have said nothing.
Bill is saying, don't get Cadet back on Model 3. Jeff, it's taken us 5 years to get him off that. What are you talking about?
And I was just about
to. Could I make
excuses? No, no.
I don't want to set this group back 3 years.
you want to come sit over here? Yeah, with your back toward them.
Did you feel the shoe in the back of your chair?
I was about to give Jeff a big thank you for allowing Pam to work on this. We would have gotten nowhere without Pam. Yeah. Pam, thank you so much for doing all this work. It's been a pleasure working with you on this little project.
Yeah, Pam's been fantastic. I'm just impressed with her level of knowledge and expertise. And thank you, Jeff, very much for letting us work with her. And I've had the pleasure of getting to know her a little bit too. And she's also a very fine person besides being incredibly intelligent.
Well, now I'm blushing, but you can't see.
Well, you should have been here.
She's got this recorded for review.
I enjoyed it. Larry and Chris were awesome. So we did a little technology web access now and then, and it was fun.
Yeah, Pam, I can't thank you on behalf of the commission enough. I mean, you have done things here over the last, I guess, you've been with us now, what, about 8 years off and on back with the task force?
A long time.
And I remember when you started and all of a sudden there was somebody by the name of Paul that you worked with and said, they really want schemas. You're going to have to do that, Pam. Anyway, I just want to thank you because you certainly have enhanced everything that we've tried to do in this state beyond belief. I'm certainly glad you had the good fortune of working where you did to begin with, and maybe some of us are jealous that you are working with where you're working and you're not working other places, but more power to U.S. Recording. And again, thank Jeff for helping make your time available. I'm sure you were allowed to do that always between 8 and 4:30, right? Yeah.
I thought this was all after 4:30.
That's why I have a computer set up at home. Yeah. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
And also to Chris and Larry, thank you very much. I do appreciate that a lot of excellent work and hard work, and I think we all appreciate it, and I think it will bear fruit here for everybody in the state of Minnesota here in the, hopefully in the next coming years, soon. But anyway, thank you all very much on that.
Thanks.
Item number 5.
Oh, actually, Mike, before you go on,
there was a cover letter, too.
Yeah, it's the website. It's from the intro that you had written then, or that we received, and so Sully put together the website. It's not open to the public right now because we were waiting till the commission had a chance to review the documents then first. But is that, can you read through this real quick as a group and see?
Were there copies for the guests too?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And I did already notice that it says 11 documents and there's only 10.
Mm-hmm. So,
because there was no other.
Around, I think that would
be a bad thing. You know, I'm just saying that if you
don't
see it.
We should do that later after we once get
rolling.
These kind of by everybody before we start adding more.
And then the mortgages and liens were kept separate because I'm trying to remember. In other states, they've done that, the same premise. And I think it was in Priuses to keep them separate too, if I remember right. But I'd have to look at that again.
Yeah, and mortgage is subject to mortgage registration tax and the rest of them aren't.
Right.
Okay. That makes the mapping different then, wouldn't it?
Well, does the UCBs separate out liens and lien and encumbrances? Is that what the case is?
I don't remember my day.
Yeah.
I don't remember what our logic was there.
Okay.
Because sometimes we had to put them in a category just because they didn't quite fit with everything, but I don't remember that specific, because I think we only got one under there.
Yeah, it's just a waiver of mechanic. Is that our liens and encumbrances?
To me, I don't see why they would have to be separate, but
I'd put them together if it were.
Requirements are, you could have Pam.
Yeah, look at
that. Pam, which way would you like to see them?
For what?
For lien and lien and encumbrances. It looks like there's only three doc types.
Right.
Was there a difference in the mapping for those three?
I think when we looked at the forms, I don't want to say the end result, but the content was a little different. Yeah. It implied something different that would happen.
So you think you'd keep them then as separate categories?
Like I said, it's all up for debate.
I think we're really doing what we're going to do by putting them on.
You know, we bought it so that they're all require a legal. They have no reference document. So as far as the mapping and that's not a concern.
Okay.
It's just a matter if you see the two documents actually accomplishing something different.
But my question is, which did the commission, I leave it to the commission, which way do you want them? Do you want 10 or 11 categories to go out on the web?
Should we put it out as 11 as it is, and then can comment as...
Yeah. That means that Pam doesn't need to change it again? Is that is that going to make it the simplest so we can get it out there faster?
Yes, Pam.
Sounds good.
Then let's just change the cover letter to say 11 instead of 10 then and add the extra category on the cover letter.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, 5A is what?
We'll
right
put
after
a
D.
6.
Yep.
Put the numbers down.
And then we're back up to 11 on everything.
Yeah.
Can I ask one other just point of clarification on the PIN number, because I know this is going to be a hot button issue. The intent of the PIN be put out there. I mean, I think part of what gets some of the title industry nervous about PINs as well is if you're saying you're track indexing against a PIN, say for instance your legal encompasses three PINs, right? But you only stick one of those PINs on the document, or two and forget one. Is there any... as far as that goes, I think if as long as it's clear here what the intent of the PIN is, that's what I'm saying. The submitter would be much more open to that if they said the intent is to assist with track indexing this document, not to necessarily if it doesn't include all PINs that are contained within the legal that it. You know, somehow won't lessen their lien position or anything like that. If that's the intent, I think that would make people feel better
These are Model 2 documents, and this is really all of the stuff that you're giving us here is required, but it's for reference. It's still a county recorder's responsibility to verify the information. At the names to make sure that you got the names right, because again, it's not a Model 3 document, it's just a Model 3 document. So you're potentially retyping all this data into a system if you're not capturing it. I assume most people capture it, but some people may choose to type it into some system and have the document just to scan in. So I think it's still the county recorder's responsibility to verify all the data that's contained there. What we're getting out of it is we're getting the initial data entry up to us to verify, and we'll be able to send it back to the submitter electronically instead of having to stuff it in envelopes and mail it back. So we're still gaining a lot on our end, and you're giving us the initial data entry, which we do ourselves now, but then I still have somebody verify it. So I think that it's up to the recorder to still continue that practice.
And I think it would be all right to put in there that or at least to answer questions that come up, is that PIN number is used to be able to communicate in different offices at the county level. More so than... If you type in this PIN number, only in Anoka County will it go out and
asking.
It's really
and index it, because I can't index by PIN number in my office. I have to index by legal. And so so we're not using it as a substitution for a legal. It'll only be used to be able to help assist people with information.
It's really not much different than asking for the subdivision name lot block, because that might not be all of it either.
Right, and that's kind of leads to my second question, because on the XML legal required, it says legal, yes, and but you're requiring something like a subdivision name and not a complete full legal, but partial legal information.
Right, because we knew that that was going to be a hang-up for everybody to have to type in, you know, particularly if it's part of a lot or if it's a long meets and bounds, because I know that you've been adamant about this for years. So I learned something from you. But we would like to at least have the beginning point so we know what lot or lots you're trying to affect or what quarter it's in, section, township, range, and quarter, then it's up to the recorder. If they tracked it down to a finer point than that, it's up to them to get it there. But at least, again, you've got a starting point.
Good. Good. Eileen?
Well, and my concern is less about what's here than on what is actually on the uniform conveyancing blanks. Because I'm thinking if you're going to put a pin on the blanks, maybe it ought to go up in that box that says it's for administrative use only. Because we don't want to get into an argument about what is the true legal of something. Whether, you know, because those pins, as I understand it, are notorious for not being accurate in all cases with respect to the legal. So I would say get that out of any sort of argument that someone could make that the legal, if I'm understanding your conversation correctly, I think it ought to go in the administrative only box.
Can I address that? What we're talking about here is really the tracking information. The document is still going to be the scanned image of what they filled out at the closing, and that's going to have the full legal description on it. This is just information that we can use to help us put it into the track. It's no different than my staff sitting down and looking at this document and trying to decide where it should go.
So maybe I'm misunderstanding. I thought you were putting the pins on the face of the instrument now.
No. This is
not
the electronic.
The at all.
This is the
on
electronic
the
information
only?
That's
okay,
submitted.
Okay, I thought it was going
image.
On the instrument.
But now, Larry, we have to stop and rethink that.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
We have to stop and rethink that because our goal is to have electronic and paper documents function the same. Yeah. So yes, at this point, it's not required on the paper document, but it would not hurt us at all to ask the conveyancing blank commission to put a spot to put it on the paper document,
right?
So that we will take into your account that we put it up in the administrative purpose box in the recording section.
It can go there as well.
Right.
Okay, I thought you were
discussion.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Because we as recorders are going to track to the legal description as provided on the deed, not to the PIN number.
Yeah.
And if I get a deed and if a recorder still gets a deed that gives the legal description as the PIN number only, I would hope nobody would accept that.
Yeah. Because people are trying to do that right now.
That's the concern from a lawyer standpoint.
Right.
Yep. To make sure it's the legal and only the legal.
And that PIN number does not actually refer to a legal description. It refers to a tax description. However, we do need those in order to facilitate what we're going to need to do for our constituents in the future, which is to tie these systems together to make it a much more
integrated
system, which would, you know, take care
allows them to have a lot more information.
Yeah.
It's just another way to try to find stuff.
Right.
See, because at some point we're looking at the counties, okay, on this legal description, our planning and zoning has given a permit to build on that parcel number. And the taxes are assessed on that parcel, the delinquent taxes on that parcel number. We don't know what else they're going to start attaching to land records, but the only way we can make our our information talk to each other and let our clients have all the information that affects them is to be able to pull from all those different departments by that PIN number.
Yeah. But I think Eileen raises an excellent point with regard to the electronic recording of the document. If you have the PIN as part of the electronic information submitted, and you have no differentiation as to the purpose of the PIN or its weight and validity, then I can easily see a claim coming along to a title company because I submitted the document, I had a full and accurate legal description, I did not have, for whatever reason, a 100% accurate PIN, and now the property is in some type of a claim situation. The claims attorneys will get a hold of that and say, aha, you meant to convey what was in the PIN, the legal was wrong, and then how do you defend that?
Well, we already have that on mortgages that are submitted with PIN numbers that may be incorrect, so how do you defend that now?
Generally, on the title company side, and this is something that has been a problem for years, most title companies are pretty careful to disclaim the PIN as an information only.
Okay.
You'll see that
reference
in title
number.
Commitments, policies, whatever, for information purposes only, we're saying.
That's why it'd be nice to have the intent in this letter to say
for administrative purposes
only. Everyone will be able, not just the PIN number.
Right, for administrative purposes
only. All for informational purposes only.
And that's
because it really is. It's helping me put it in the track.
Right.
That's all it's for.
So it's for informational purposes only. The PIN number is
required.
So should we put that in that paragraph?
Yeah. So the
for informational purposes only, the PIN number is required.
It's not just PIN. You have to make sure that all of the data elements that we're asking here for are used to assist the county
it's
recorder in posting it in the tracked index, but are not the official, I don't know what the right terms would be. You're the attorney.
Yeah.
See, if we can get that clearly in here, then I'll forward this to the Uniform Conveyancing Blanks people to make sure. Nobody here is on that, right?
No.
Okay, I'll forward that. I think it's Evan Rice now who's chairing that, and just say, is this acceptable? Because they may need to put something on those forms. Because you're right. I mean, the argument becomes what was the true legal and what was really conveyed.
Well, required for administrative purposes only.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because
so it assist in tracking the documents, the documents submitted for recording.
Your point is exactly right, because even the legal description that we put in, say we mistype it's fourth edition, it was really fifth.
Yes.
Exactly.
You know, then getting back to your earlier point, that could be a claim. Okay. Ultimately, we're saying the county's the source of the truth. We're just a bunch of stupid submitters that we don't know what we're putting in.
Well, I'm not sure that I'm not more comfortable with the wording like informational.
Than administrative,
because the informational is for the client as well, the public as well. When they go in there and they see it and they see this information number, this is the PIN number. You know, this is just for informational purposes only, that you cannot transfer a deed with this.
Right.
You cannot, you know, it is for information only. And as Jeff was saying, now that I think back, when you see PIN number on a mortgage, I think it says reference PIN number or some type
of
disclaimer on that. It's the same as the legal address. You know, oftentimes that's not correct on the document. Okay, then which is what, the legal address or where it says and the address of that property is, and then that's not correct. I don't view that. I don't make sure that's correct. I record the document.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe, you know, although for your purposes in tracking, checking the PIN number if you're using it to track is a good idea, I'm not sure the county wants to be liable for all PIN numbers that are in documents either, you know.
Right.
So.
Well, it's not just PIN number, though. I want to make that clear.
Yeah,
right.
It's really
every,
all the data elements that are coming in that wrapper are for reference information, but they're required
in the wrapper,
to be filed along with the document, but the document still really isn't prevailing.
That should be the bottom disclaimer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you're giving us a subdivision name, lot, and block, that's not, in a lot of cases, going to be the complete legal.
Right.
But at least it gives me an idea of where to start here.
So can we
let me read a sentence here that I just wrote and see if people are somewhat comfortable with this. What if we added at the end of that paragraph, second to the end paragraph, that something that would read that all required electronic data elements are to assist county recorders in indexing to the grantor, grantee index, to the grantor, grantee, and track indexes. I had where appropriate. I'm not sure that's. I mean that. Okay, I'm just trying to think there. All required electronic data elements are to assist county recorders. /registrars. Yep. Thank you, Larry. Forget about that.
But then it's also auditor treasurers for paying taxes or for checking taxes. So
county officials.
County officials.
There you go.
Just
county officials.
Who knows what they're called?
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're not
even
a recorder.
Well, I mean, it's also for the purposes of a lot of other offices out there that that
GIS works well. Or assessing or.
So we've got all required electronic data elements are to assist county officials
in processing.
In processing electronic documents. Electronic recording.
Do you need to get the reference to the track and the grantor grantee indexes? Is that
I wouldn't think so. I just think, you know, for
processing covers.
For processing covers it all.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a statement on the wrapper, right?
It could be.
Okay. And then are we going to try to get it on the uniform conveyancing blank as well?
For the PIN number, you mean?
Yeah.
For the PIN number. Mm-hmm. Unless it's enough to just put it in the box. You know, they don't like to clutter those forms.
Right.
I think just putting it up in the box is sufficient.
I think everybody ignores what's in the box from the lawyer's side. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Well, you can't put anything in there.
No, right, and nobody pays attention to what's up there
right.
either, really. I think that's probably true. So, yeah, if it's just up in that box. But then maybe in an abundance of caution, we put that statement on the wrapper.
Or if you're looking at creating standard information, we could request that they put for reference, PIN number, and then you know it's just for reference, just for reference.
And could you say something in our subject to verification by the county.
I don't think that that's even.
You don't think that's necessary?
So yeah. Then what if we make a mistake? Are we liable to the title companies?
Yes.
Just if they win the lawsuit.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Let's just put that it's
but we
for
do that
reference.
Now. I mean, I do that now. I take that risk by writing PIN
number. It was on them, yes. I know that. But I don't mind taking the liability of my PIN number.
Well, and I, yeah. I don't know, someday.
I don't know if I want to take Jeff.
Did you get that?
All required electronic data elements are to assist county officials in processing electronic documents. Is that it?
Got it. Yeah.
Okay. Or how about for the sole purpose of?
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Or for the sole purpose of assisting.
Sole purpose, yeah.
Yeah, that eliminates them trying to determine whether it has anything to do with the legal or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
There it is.
And then when that's in final, would you send me a copy and then I can get it to the uniform conveyancing blanks people and just make sure they're happy?
Yep. Because then the purpose is we'll put this out on the website and then I can send something to MLTA members and say, yep.
Hit the website with no PIN number.
Well, on the other side of this, too, is where the comments and everything stuff.
What we do is then take this and make it into a letter format that also lists then the committee, the commission members as well, and then send it out to the group members, the interested parties,
and you could then forward it out to the other individuals.
Now, Diane had asked me about putting our names out there with telephone numbers, and I said, I have no problem with that, and I was certain most of you wouldn't have a problem with it, but I said I'd rather touch base with you all before we say yes. Didn't say you had to give them your cell phone number.
We don't have to do telephone numbers. We could just list the individuals. It depends on...
Yep.
Or we can do emails.
Emails.
Your email's probably already on the site.
Yeah, it probably is. But I'm
going to
say
our phone numbers were on the old site.
But yeah, and it doesn't matter to me. It's just that emails, when they email you, you definitely have the attention they have with the question they have.
Right.
You know, as opposed to, okay, I got a phone call, I'm in a hurry, I'm loading my kid in the car, and...
As time fades, we forget things that we hear, but if you got the email, you can go back and refresh your memory.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why would they be on an electronic recording website if they don't want to email?
I don't know.
How else would we communicate, right?
But they could. Maybe they want to hear it.
We would reject it.
They don't want to scan it in a PDF.
So we'll make the changes. Get the letter drafted.
Right.
Send it to you to have a quick look over.
Sure.
And then send it out to, once it goes through you, then send it out to the broader group then? Okay.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Sounds good.
Remember, Chris, I'm sitting here on this commission. I don't know how to get on Facebook. Remember that.
We're running a little late, so let me just ask if we're all right to kind of push this off. I'm going to ask one thing, though, and that is the a recorder group to take a look at some of the information that we have gotten from the Secretary of State that was on their website, to take a look at it with Diane and Sally in terms of making some recommendations of what we would continue to put out there. There have been some questions that have come up about the process that counties need to go through in order to electronically record, and there's also some questions that have come up about what do submitters need to do. And Jeff, if you might, again, with that trusted submitter group, just take a look through that. There's nothing in the statute now that says what you're what you have to do. So do we want to create a carryover of the policies that the old task force had about trusted submitters having a letter that they could sign and be submitted to the commission, and we put those out there so that people would know who the trusted submitters are on a website, so that any county that wanted to look could see that, any vendor that needed to know that could see who they were, and you don't have to then get a trusted submitter letter in every county, as we had before. But I thought maybe if you would take a look at what makes the most sense from the submitter side again, and then we can just refresh what we've done before, and we can do that at a later commission hearing. And then I was going to ask the county recorder side to take a look at what do they think makes sense from the recorder side to put out on that website. Before, we wanted a resolution from county boards. Well, there's nothing in the law that says we have to have that, and I don't know that we want to have that as a requirement, but what do we think makes the most sense, so that we at least put that out there on the how-to?
Well, now I'll tell you, the rest of the country, we do a memorandum of understanding for every county. So actually, for Minnesota, it's a little easier because we only have to do one and then posting one. So, I mean, I don't want to make some broad assumptions here, but that would be a lot. That'd be, it's not, I mean, every place understands they have to do that, and there are not laws requiring that in the other states, but every county requests that because they want, because usually there's some kind of funds transfers and that they want to know who they're dealing with. So I don't think that's a big issue. As far as it being public, I mean, I guess I'd have to ask the other members. I'm sure we wouldn't have any issues, and usually that's maybe a source of business then.
Right.
So
that's what I would think, is that there would be places that encouraged.
Because there's no real private information on these memorandums
Once you deal with the government and you sign a contract with one county, it's public information, Jeff.
Yeah.
It's anybody can have access to it if they ask for it. And this, and again, that's what I want. It simplifies it because you do it with whatever county you probably start doing business with, and then we put it on the website, so you don't have to do that with any other county, and any other county can go in and see there's where it's at. They don't have to have any question about who they're dealing with. So
it's great.
I if you can just review that, and again, and I think we can just pick up with what we've had in the past, mm-hmm. and if we need to modify, and just kind of get it out there so that we know that. Those are some questions that have come up in the last month that I haven't really thought about. I spent a little time with Diane kind of going through those, and she's got in our packet some website stuff.
Yeah, this is, I just made a quick copy of some of the Office Secretary of State website when it was the task force, ERER task force. And it's not everything, but it kind of gives you an understanding of how it was organized. We received now from the Office Secretary of State a bunch of CDs, which has all the electronic version of the documents from the past history of the task force. So they're outlined. They're attached to this. They're outlined a couple pages there. So that's potentially like what could be posted, but I'm not so sure if you want to post all that stuff or not.
I was going to point out that on this document, it includes this one that looks like this.
Mm-hmm.
The content on one of the CDs is the International Student Exchange and the Waiver of Intercollegiate Athletic Eligibility.
That's from the Office of Secretary of State.
That's what I'm thinking. So we should probably delete
probably
those.
Probably not one of. It's probably their tech people, and they said, I don't know. Who knows?
And then this sample letter. And I'm sure somebody will catch that refers to Benita Harview and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yep, it's the old Office of Secretary of State information. It has task force on there instead of commission.
I wanted to kind of back up a little bit on this memorandum of understanding as well. Something for you guys to think about over the next month is it's always been unclear in every other place. If I Simplifile. If Simplifile has a memorandum of understanding, but they are not the submitter, right? They have many clients that they submit for. Are you requiring a memorandum of understanding from each, say, agent, or are you wanting it from the level of the technology provider, I'll say? Technology provider?
That's what I would say.
Okay.
Because your contract would be with those other people.
Yeah, but
the initial.
It is, but I'm saying other states believe that it's different, that they think they have an understanding with the actual agent when they don't. You know what I mean? They have it with the.
But I'm only doing
provider.
Business with Simplifile.
Right.
I'm not doing business with those other people.
Yeah.
I don't think that was the
case. Actually, to expand on Jeff's comment, if a technology provider provides technology that resides at the title agent level so that they don't aggregate through a U.S. recording or a simpler file, I would assume in that case that your statement would come from that individual title agent.
Correct.
And not the technology provider.
That's correct, because they're not shown to be a trusted submitter.
Right.
They have to show up as a trusted submitter.
So who's ever making that technological connection?
Connection.
Okay. I just want to make sure that that's clear.
I've kind of boiled it down to whoever submits the electronic secure wrapped package is the customer that we're relying on to give us that authenticated package.
Good.
That's what we're looking at.
All right.
Who is paying the bill? That's as simple as I get it.
Well, that could be different.
No, I've taken the money out of your account. You're submitting it. No, I mean you're submitting the document. You're the one that has to have the funds there for me to take it from.
Yep.
So when you are not technology smart, you just boil down to things like that. If you're going to pay for it, I need the submitter with you.
Whoever's going to pay the bill.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just quickly tried to get through any other item that we wanted to deal with and anything else that we can't hold off on until
June.
We're
still, the June 11th is when we'll be meeting next, or, I know there was some discussion about that date or not.
That date was the date we moved.
That was the date
we moved to. Right.
We did talk about when we were pending on some things, but let's see where we're at. Let's see, I would throw this out for people to give a little thought to. We've gotten a little short on this timeline for people to give comments to us. I thought originally we were going to have the 2 months. I don't want to get into a debate with Janine on this, but if people at the June meeting might at least give some thought, if we needed to move back the July meeting a week or two, just to give a little bit more time, depending on what we've got coming in from comments from the public, to put them together for us to take a look at, if people might at least take a look at your schedule as a possibility. I know Janine wants us to meet in the month of July yet, because she wants to be able to say that we did something within that first year. Anyway, Janine, God bless you. Anyway, I would be willing to entertain a motion to adjourn.
Wait, Mike, I just want to give a quick update that there is a package in there of all 80.
Yes, I'm sorry.
2008, the beginnings of 2009. I don't have them all because I have to work out some technology security things with my guy. And
Chris, I thought maybe we might ask you to cover that in June if you're available, just a little bit, because it does give a lot of information about total documents recorded and what we're going to try and have available for the future, which I think you'd all find of some interest. But thank you. Chris has done a yeoman job pushing that through our... That wasn't as simple as I thought it was going to be.
You don't call her a pushy.
I was going to leave this stuff in here for next month, then. Is that okay? The forms, if you're going to present about them next month, I'll just leave them
here.
So, recopying all this?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's great.
Now, anything else? Would I be okay in entertaining a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Pam, again.
You're welcome. Have a nice long weekend.
Yep.
You
too.